Joining us now in studio is Rice County Attorney John Fossum. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you for coming in today. We certainly appreciate that.
Well, and thanks for having me in on this nice balmy day.
41 was our official high yesterday, though I had 45 degrees on my car. So not quite that today, but still in the mid-30s. Got to like that.
Well, I watched the Winter Olympics, and they say it's cold when it's 20 degrees. Like, that sounded warm.
Hey, let's talk about some of the things that are going on. I want to start off with marijuana wax. We're starting to hear different forms of marijuana. Actually, you probably have heard of that a little bit longer than I have, but being the 21st century now, they're figuring out different ways to use marijuana, all for kind of the same purpose.
And it's become a growing trend that we run into these cases where people have made marijuana wax or marijuana made other things out of it. It's not really a wax, but it's the statute calls it the resinous form of marijuana. So they've taken some kind of fluid, often it's butane, run it through the marijuana, and that's what they then smoke. And it's a very concentrated form of THC. It's a very concentrated high, apparently. And we've seen a number of those cases in the last couple of years, and hopefully it's not a growing trend, but it is part of what we're dealing with, and I know it's part of a national trend as well to see different ways that marijuana is delivered and used, and obviously we've seen some of those on here in Rice County as well.
Now, I would imagine a lot of those, at least from if you believe what you see on TV, a lot of that type of ingenuity is coming from some of the states that have legalized marijuana, where you can buy edibles and they're figuring out how to cook it and take the THC out of it or into it or whatever. Is that kind of been the case? Are they setting the trend?
That may be. I think that the marijuana wax is a little different in that it's kind of like the way meth cooking used to be, that people would get the recipe and figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so they might have greater access to marijuana from legal sources in Colorado or someplace, but the way that they're using it and more people seem to think that this is a safe way to use marijuana. And it just turns out to be a very dangerous thing to do run lighter fluid through your marijuana and then smoke it.
That doesn't sound too appealing.
When you put it that way, it sounds sounds less fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, boy, if it was any good, maybe I'd run those through green beans or broccoli or something. I don't want to smoke that either. Now, as far as the danger of that, boy, it sounds like it would be, from a health standpoint, very dangerous. Are you seeing some physical side effects of this, or are the people who are doing this, is their activity any different when they are high than, say, somebody else who smoked it from a more traditional source?
And I guess I don't have information on that at this point, but what we are seeing is just more and more of these cases. We did have a case of someone who was seriously injured making their own marijuana wax a couple of years ago here in Northfield, but we haven't seen so much of that, where it's not like it's one of those. At least I don't have any information that it's a more dangerous drug in the sense that it changes the behavior, but it is more concentrated THC, mm-hmm. and so it's more dangerous in that you are taking in probably more THC or mood-altering substances than you might otherwise.
All right. Once again, John Fossum is our guest, and that kind of, I guess, the drug trade through the years has evolved like any other business, whether it's legal or illegal, in that American ingenuity kind of really plays a key factor in that. You've recently also seen some changes in drug laws. Are the laws keeping up with the streets in this case?
Well, you know, what I'm thinking about at this point is, you and I talked about in 2016, we had a significant change to the drug statutes in Minnesota, mm-hmm. and that took effect in August of 2016. And we had been on a trend where our felony drug cases were just growing and growing. And in 2014, we had 80 felony drug cases. In 2016, we had 178. So our caseload for felony drug cases more than doubled in those 2 years. 2017 was our first full year with that new statute, where one of the things that they did was they took some of the felony drug cases, the minor amounts and the possession of which are often charged as like pipes with residue, things like that, and made those gross misdemeanors. And so what we saw in 2017 is we went from 178 drug cases, felony drug cases, in 2016 to 111 in 2017. So that's a pretty noticeable drop. But we also saw that we had at least 50 more gross misdemeanor cases. So what we've done is we've sort of transferred some of those felony drug cases into misdemeanor drug cases. And, you know, that's what the legislature said they wanted to do. And what a bunch of people thought we should be doing is having fewer criminal penalties for our minor drug possession cases. Normally we treat those, the first time we run into somebody, we give them a, what we call a 15218, which is a discharge and dismissal. So they come in, they plead guilty on their drug case, and, they're on probation for some period of time. And if they clear probation without any issues, then the case is dismissed. And the legislature clearly evidenced preference for that, but they wanted the stakes to be lower. So the first time we run into somebody, it's a excuse me, a gross misdemeanor now as opposed to a felony. We'll normally still give them that discharge and dismissal, that stay of adjudication. We are seeing fewer of the felony drug cases, in part because we moved a lot of them into gross misdemeanors.
Now, what about repeat offenders? I mean, if you get caught with residue in a meth pipe, it's now a gross misdemeanor. If you get caught a second time, is that still a gross misdemeanor?
If it's a second time, if we've had them in before and they've been convicted of that offense the first time, then the second time can be a felony.
Okay.
And so we'll wind up seeing that as well.
Now, as far as the prisons go and the county jails around the state, you have they've been pretty crowded at times. Is this lessening that a little bit? Do you agree that this is a good law, that we are seeing? Sometimes you have very good intentions with a law, but it doesn't work out in practicality like you'd like it. Is this working out like they had intended?
Well, they have the legislature and the Guidelines Commission evidenced a clear preference for treatment over incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have the people who are not the big-time dealers, we focus on getting them into treatment. And that's, again, that's part of that is the function of our drug court. And we've had a very successful drug court in Rice County. Judge Neville and a lot of other people worked very hard to have our drug court do well. We've had 9 graduates from our drug court. That's 9 people we didn't have to send to prison. We've had other people who have been in the drug court who haven't quite completed as well, and some of them have gone to prison and some of them haven't. The prisons are still more, there are still more people in prison than there are beds, and so the prison system is still looking for places to put people. But we've allowed people into our drug court who are felony DUI offenders who would otherwise be going to prison, and we bring them into the drug court, and if they can stay clean during the drug court period and the probation period afterwards, then they won't have to go to prison. And like I said, for at least 9 people so far, it's been very successful. We got a couple more people graduating. I think this afternoon, come to think of it, there's 2 people graduating from drug court today.
All right. Good news, reason to celebrate.
So that brings us up to 11. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of things that we're doing to try and bend that curve and help people beat their addiction, and decriminalizing or making those statutes less punitive is one approach. The drug court is another approach, and when you combine all those together, obviously we're probably sending fewer people to prison if we've got 60 fewer drug cases.
Mm-hmm. Well, best of luck to the two that are graduating today. We wish them continued success, and you know, hopefully they'll go out into the world and be productive and maybe help some of their friends that they were associated with in an earlier life.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, one thing I want to talk to you about, we haven't brought this up, is this guy. There's a guy named Antonio Washington, and I don't know if he's been in the Rice County Jail. Hopefully he's been in jail somewhere, because this guy has been accused of some really bad things. We've talked about him before, including kidnapping. Bring us up to date on where that is from a prosecution standpoint.
Sure. Well, we've got a number of cases against him, and the two of the bigger ones are the kidnapping case, which I think we talked about last time. His girlfriend called from the called the police from the Hy-Vee, said she'd barricaded herself in the bathroom, and he was threatening to harm her and wasn't letting her go, and she'd managed to get out, get to the bathroom, and call the police. That case is set for trial in March. We also have a first-degree drug case against him where he had quite a bit of heroin, and he was moving a lot of heroin. We have a couple of other cases. This is a guy with a pretty significant criminal record, and so we'll be looking for career offender sentencing on Mr. Washington when we get to that big drug case. He's facing he's risking, at this point I think we're talking about 20 years or so would be what we'd be looking for out of the felony drug case, given his career offender sentencing.
Now, I was trying to recall that case. Does he have additional charges outside of the Rice County court system?
I think he does. Okay. But he's got so many in Rice County, it's hard to count them all.
We'll just focus on this. John Fossum with us, Rice County attorney. John, one final question here. I'll catch you blind on this one. I don't know if he has started work yet or not, but tell us what you think of Jeff Johnson.
Oh,
and not me.
Not the other Jeff Johnson.
We have a new judge that is seceding Judge Neville on the bench, and his name is Jeffrey Johnson.
Yes. Well, that Jeff Johnson and I have been friends for 20 years, and he's a good friend, and you know, I think he'll do well on the bench, and I look forward to working with him. I expect good things out of Jeff. You know, like I said, we've known each other for over 20 years. We were young public defenders at the same time, and spent a lot of time together over the years. So I look forward to working with him, and I think he's an excellent choice. And grew up here in Rice County, grew up in Faribault, and you know, he's a little bit young. I think he's 2 years younger than me, so maybe he's a little too young for the bench, but I think he'll do well, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
All right. John, thank you so much for coming in. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Rice County Attorney John Fossum. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.